The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew in the 5th chapter. Last week, you remember, we spoke about the Beatitudes and how Jesus was sort of setting his manifesto of what values were important in the kingdom. Now, immediately following that in this gospel, let's hear what Jesus said to those who were listening. And this is the good news about Jesus. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt. Salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a basket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, you should shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open and open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. And may we not only hear what we need to hear, but may we have the courage to do what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. All of us have salt shakers at home, right? And also, mostly all of us have been told not to use much salt. So, but let's remember what Jesus was saying about the salt shaker. Salt, you know, used to be a currency, used to be a lot of things. A couple months back, in fact, it might have been one of my first briquette messages. By the way, did you get your briquette today? Do you have that there with you? And your annual report? You have that for next week? Good. And I spoke about salt and that it used to be a currency and it highly valued. And the reason it was so is because actually, if you talk to a chemist, do we have any chemists in the room? Any at all? All right, we got architects, we got engineers, we got teachers, we got all sorts of other stuff, but no chemists. All right, good. Well, I'm told by chemists that salt actually never breaks down. The problem is that salt can be dissolved into other things so that, as Jesus said, salt loses its saltiness. But the salt itself doesn't change. It simply dissolves into other things. Salt, what is that? Thank you. Good job. We do have chemists. NaCl, it just sort of dissipates. It blends with other stuff. So that if you have one grain of salt, that little grain of salt is all the salt it needs to be. It's wonderful. But one little grain of salt sitting on top of a hamburger isn't going to transform that hamburger very much. You need a little bit more salt if your goal is really to taste the salt. And so Jesus was using a very common element. Today, I don't know what kind of thing we would use. It would almost like you'd have to be talking about the internet or something that's all over the place. But salt back then was just a very common commodity that everybody understood. Don't let your salt lose its saltiness, or in other words, don't spread yourself so thin that it has no effect. Now, he also said, let me put it this way. He talked about light. It's kind of weird, right? He's talking about salt, maybe looking down here on the ground and pointing maybe at a salt cluster, or maybe someone had a bag of salt that they were carrying. And then when Jesus begins talking about that metaphor of light, I wonder what he looked at. Maybe he pointed to the sun. Maybe he pointed to himself. We don't know. But certainly light is another way of looking at the gospel, that Jesus came into the world, and it says the darkness did not understand him, but the darkness could not quench it. The light of Christ cannot be quenched. Like that salt molecule, or like the salt molecule, it's still salt. Jesus is still light. But the idea is that it's so powerful and pervasive in its influence that no amount of darkness can overcome it. And in fact, we know this, right? That if you have a totally dark room, it only takes one little bit of light that dissipates the darkness totally. But Jesus, when he spoke, he probably didn't have anything quite this interesting. But Jesus also, to put it more locally, Jesus didn't say, "You are the light bulb of the world. You are the light bulb of the world." No, he didn't use that word. He uses the word phanos for light. He's not talking about the object that produces the light. He's talking about the actual light that is produced. Jesus is interested that, as neat as those beatitudes are, peace and righteousness and justice, live your life like this. These are the values of the kingdom. Pay attention to these things. Let your light, let your life show these things. But Jesus was not interested in you just knowing all of these cool facts. Like, I bet you all know when Christmas is. Right? What day of the year is Christmas? December 25th, that's right. Somebody say December 21st because you're in big trouble if you did. Okay, all right, just checking. So we know lots of facts. Or you may know Jesus, when he was killed, what kind of death did he experience? Death on a cross, right. And Jesus, what town was he born in? Yes, good job. And how about the town in which he died for us? What town was that? Yes, Jerusalem. And did he die inside the city gates or outside the city gates? Outside, because that's where the trash heaps were. That's where they threw the refuse. That's where criminals and our Savior was put to death. When Paul, the apostle, we call him Paul the apostle, by the way, that is not his last name. It's Saul of Tarsus, so it would be Saul of Tarsus would be his name. But we know him as an apostle. We also know that he was someone who persecuted the early Christians. He saw the light of early Christians and sought to squelch it. Or, to use the analogy of salt, he sought to dissipate the salt, to spread it so thinly, to break up that cell church and to stop that home Bible study and to stop those people over there from talking about Jesus and breaking up that group over there that's talking about Jesus. And by dissipating, by almost dissolving away the influence of Jesus through these dear friends, those in faith who came before us, he sought to destroy the church. Until one day, he was on the way to where? What town? Damascus, right? He was on his way to Damascus, and he saw a bright what? A bright light. And the bright light was so bright that what happened to him? That's right, scales over his eyes. He, in effect, had cataracts, and they were serving a useful purpose that moment. He would have been blinded by the light were it not for those cataracts that developed so instantly. We try to get rid of those things, right? Yeah, because we want to see the light. And it wasn't for some days that went by that the Apostle Paul finally, in meeting Jesus, he finally understood. He followed the rules, the prescription. I want you to go to a certain place, meet a certain person, and I want you to meet and stay with them. You see, Jesus is not in the business of creating light bulbs. Jesus is in the business of making light. Jesus is not in the business of just of throwing salt all over the place. Have some salt. Here, you want to have some salt. Jesus actually is in the business of getting enough salt together where it has an impact, where you can taste it on your burger. You see, a little bit of salt is still salt. It still has value. It's still perfectly fine. And also, a little bit of light is perfectly fine because it only takes a little bit of light to get rid of the darkness. But when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," well, how much light does it take to light up the world? This is why communities of faith like Cold Spring Church gather in places like this. Now, we could, if we wanted to, many people choose to, you could worship Jesus, you could show up out here at a nice tombstone, set up your Bible, and put a little candle out there, and you should try that, actually, it might be nice. But that one little light, you know, might not be enough. By gathering together, such as this, in a community of faith, and the more people we gather together in the community of faith, the brighter the light. So that our influence in Christ, the good things that such as the Beatitudes and all the values of the kingdom of God, justice and welcoming and hospitality, the gospel that takes every kind of shape and form through each of us are unique light bearers. But one little light alone may not be enough. Jesus isn't in the light bulb business. Jesus is out to create great light, to illuminate dark places. We have some dark places in here? How's the dust in here? Are we doing good? Yeah, a couple little spots here. Do these doors ever get closed? I wonder. We should have someday we should close them just for fun. No, any place that this bulb now goes, whatever darkness there was behind your pew there will now be sifted away. Imagine if all of us, as we have, decide to follow Christ, and we decide not just to be a light bulb that sits on a shelf waiting for the apocalypse to appear, but instead we actively and intentionally find ways of working together to show Christ's light in the world. That's why we have a community of faith. That's why we have a session. That's why we have a board of deacons. That's why we have people that want to teach and people that want to help transform the lives in our community and our young people and our seniors. That's why we visit nursing homes and hospitals. Where people can't come out, we'll bring the light to you. The light of Christ cannot be quenched. Jesus said, "I did not create you as a light in order to put you under a bushel." Jesus said, if your light is not having influence, if it's not being seen, then it's just a light bulb. And it doesn't accomplish its purpose. So we don't want to be light bulbs. We don't want to be just one little grain of salt. Perfectly fine. One grain of salt. Perfect. It's still salt. But if you're going to actually influence the flavor of your community, your family, your work, your world, we need a bunch of salt to work together. And if there's dark spots out here, we know there are, even in here, we need the light that all of us bear together to show those good things that God has for us. Jesus says, "I have come that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world. To put it down. To just yell at it. No, God sent Christ into the world that they might have life." And Jesus says, life in abundance. That sounds like lots of light to me. And God's love cannot be quenched. God's light cannot be hidden. As long as we agree together that we have been called to show the light and have influence in the world to do God's good work in the name of Jesus. Today, in a few moments, we're going to have the privilege of receiving 6 new members These are six people that have been involved here for some time, but they're six new light bearers that they want to add their light to our light so that the light of Cold Spring Presbyterian Church can shine even more brightly and have even more influence in the world. And then next week, we're going to have a celebration together following worship where we're going to celebrate receiving these new members and just saying, hey, thank you for being part of our church. We'll have a chance to greet them personally and get to know them a little better if you don't already. And we'll have our congregational meeting. And yes, I know that only members get to vote at a congregational meeting. Yes, that's true. And Rob's going to be watching as our clerk of session, you can be sure. Just don't try anything. But I want everybody to feel free to come. I want you to enjoy the lunch, and I want you to enjoy the meeting. Because during the meeting, we're going to see what Christ's light is doing in our community. And we're going to be thinking a little bit about how we can make our light shine brighter. So that's next week. And also, next weekend begins Valentine's Day weekend. Now, I know that's not a church season. Okay, I know. But in this month's briquette, I wrote a little piece. Do you know the history of Valentine's Day? Well, you may be surprised if you don't, and you can read about it in my message on the briquette. And next week, of course, Valentine is a nice red color. I want everybody just to feel comfortable to come to this worship service where we have lunch and relax afterwards, have our meeting, a time to celebrate, think about the future. I want you to feel free to dress your casual best. Now, if you want to wear a tie, look fancy like me. I do not look fancy. But if you want to wear a tie or a pretty dress or whatever, that's perfectly fine. But just know, you don't have to. But there is a requirement. You have some red on. And so next week, we want to celebrate God's love as he has invited us to really be a loving church community. And next week, come dressed as you want. Be comfortable. Come to worship at Price Hall. Stay for lunch at the congregational meeting. And let's celebrate the light that Christ has called us to be. Would you join with me in prayer? Dear God, thank you that Jesus didn't just tell the disciples, know these facts, know these important dates, these important towns, know all the creeds and understand the histories and know the words of the favorite hymns, favorite Bible verses. All these things are good. Most importantly, Jesus said, be the light. Be the salt. And we give thanks that you've entrusted us with your light. In Jesus' name, amen.